one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any agenda changes, additions, or deletions?
Yes, ma'am. I have quite a number of things to tell you.
Okay.
Okay. So I know that you were all emailed a revised agenda earlier in the week, and it was also posted online, but there's a hard copy at your dais, and the change was just the removal of one field trip item from the consent agenda that's highlighted in yellow for ease of viewing. The athletic presentation was not available at the time the board was just printed on Friday, but it was also emailed to you yesterday. I did leave a hard copy for everybody at their seat. And Mr. Miller just brought in an addendum page to item 8.5.2.5, the new staff for home construction, and that page shows a schedule of sublease payments. So that is now currently at your...
Showing a schedule of what?
Sublease payments, and he just left it at everybody's desk spot.
Oh.
It's a separate little sheet. Sheila,
this one. Okay, I'm just writing so that I know.
And so those are three items that are slightly different.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Any others? Okay, our next item, public comments. Are there items that the public would like to speak to that are not on the agenda? No? Okay, superintendent report. May is a lot about celebrations and about kind of different kinds of end of the year events. There's been some great ones in the last week, and I'll be able to share some pictures with you. But we also, one particular celebration that I want to call out, especially as we have some folks from Soquel High School in the room, I received notice yesterday that they received a 6-year WASC accreditation officially from the Washington State University. The school had a really comprehensive, collaborative process, and it's a real celebration of their self-reflection and their goals and next steps. Also spent some time since we last met continuing to follow up on the retreat from the Santa Cruz County College commitment. The steering committee met and used the input from the retreat from a bunch of stakeholders to set some goals for the coming year in all those four areas: college readiness, career readiness, math success, and counseling professional development. The principals took a first view of another Curriculum Master Plan 2.0 last Friday, and Julia and Marianne are trying to find a good time to get teacher input, and they were trying to get something scheduled in May, and they just haven't been able to get folks. People are too busy, so they're gonna kick off with trying to get some teacher input on that in the fall. Had our monthly meeting with the SCCCE leadership last night. We dug into the working condition survey, talked about where we'd seen growth and celebrations, and we talked about areas for strategic focus, and we agreed, actually, by the time we were done, to continue our focus on professional development and professional collaboration and creating opportunities for meaningful input in decision making. We are also getting ready to move. And if you've been around the district office in the last couple weeks, you've seen some extra to be shredded boxes. We're doing a lot of work. You see Nancy here and Molly and Jory on Friday. We went through some files, doing a lot of file diving, looking at a lot of interesting history, and a lot of it we don't have to keep. So we're working to get smaller and leaner as we move. So spring cleaning is happening in the central office. Also had our meeting with Clifford Moss with central office directors and assistant superintendents and our assistants to talk about effective communication from the central office. We started this with thinking about communicating about bond, and we're expanding those goals that we're setting as a central office team to improve both our internal and external communication. And we'll bring you our plan when we get it all ironed out. And like I said, lots of celebration with the community. We had the Region 10 AXA Awards last week, where Molly was recognized with a Blanche Montague Award for Women in Leadership, and Kat McAlee was recognized as Co-Administrator of the Year. We had the Edvy Awards, where many, many of our educators and our community partners were recognized. It's such a lovely event, and it was moving it to the MA, I think, just made it even nicer this year. Great venue. I had a meeting with the treasurer and president from SCEF, Stephanie Enrocco, and Jill Denner, to talk about our computer science grant and next steps, and how we can move forward and look for potential more resources to support the work and as we move into next year. Also had the goal is that new acronym for the Adult Ed Consortium that stands for Greater Opportunities for Adult Learning. And the Adult Ed Consortium board meeting just happened, and we're working on our goals and annual mm-hmm. plan for this next school year. And just wanted to share these photographs of those events from last week. The left-hand side, you can see Molly and Kat, and on the left bottom portion, you see the Soquel High School Band, which played at the AXA Awards at Seascape. And then the Eddie Awards, you can see, I think you can see, we also had a Soquel High School musical performance, and that's the courtyard at the mall, and all of the awardees up in the right-hand corner. That is my report for this evening.
Thank you. Students.
So this week started the AP testing, so there's a lot of students being stressed, but they're getting here, and so that'll continue until next week. Last week we had our academic awards night, which recognized students for having a 3.5 for higher GPA, or having perfect attendance, or being reclassified. And then upcoming in May, there's going to be the senior awards night for seniors who get awards from departments or scholarships. This last weekend as well, it was the closing of Guys and Dolls theater production. And I believe the baseball's senior day as well. The band has a spring concert coming up on May 30th. And towards the end of the year, and this Saturday is our senior prom. And then pretty much after that, it seems like pretty straight towards graduation afterwards.
Thank you.
So we also have AP tests going on, so a little high stress throughout student body. Softball senior night was last night, so that was exciting. We unfortunately came in second, but a lot of emotions and happy faces and some tears, and that was really nice. Much Ado About Nothing is opening this weekend, so that's exciting, and I think they've been scrambling to get together, but I think it's going to be really good. We have both student MCs having their last garden work day of the year, so this Friday. We planted some starks, and so we're going to get those in the ground. And then Latino Bread is coming up on June 1st, which we're planning for, and Black Bread is coming up the day after, June 2nd, and so we've been organizing for that.
Busy. Thank you. Deb?
I want to congratulate Molly on your award. And congratulate Stephanie and the foundation for a spectacular event. It was really nice, and the mingling was really comfortable. It was great. So good job. Also, 250 Harbor High students were recognized for academic excellence, which is pretty exciting. It's a great night. And I attended the Tech Task Force meeting. I want to thank Pat and Curtis and Julian Hodges for bringing the task force back with the tech coaches, and I'm excited that there will be meetings ongoing. And I heard some pretty heartfelt feedback from the coaches regarding the need for professional development for both coaches as well as staff. So that was taken to heart, and I look forward to discussing that with the committee. Next week, I'll be going to CSBA Delegate Assembly, and they've given me homework. They like, during the assembly, we'll be discussing three major topics in breakout sessions. So Chris and I were going to figure out a way to get feedback from all of you, but the topics are the legalization of marijuana, school safety, and the Janus versus AFSCME fair share trial, how all of those things may impact districts across the state. So in the next week or so, we'll be doing something that's within the Brown Act to be able to get feedback and questions that you want me to bring for our discussion session and breakouts.
Maybe we can put together a little survey monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't report next.
Is it Tuesday?
Yeah.
I visited SoCal High School with Claudia and Chris, and we were fortunate enough to be able to visit the boys' choir, and they serenaded us with a few songs, and I was just really, really impressed by these young men and how they just stood up very tall when they sang, and I could have a sense of pride in them, so that was really a pleasure to see and hear. We also visited a guitar class, so the arts are alive and well at SoCal High School, so that's wonderful to see. We also just popped into the wood shop and the metal shop, and I'm just amazed by how professional those environments look, and to see some of the projects that the students are working on is just incredibly impressive, and to hear that these young people are really learning some skills that they can take out into the real world immediately. So I was very appreciative to have that time at SoCal.
I attended the Eddie Awards, and it was wonderful to celebrate the teachers and all the good work. There were some incredibly heartfelt speeches, and two in particular come to mind. One was from Hal Robick, who reminded us that success can come in many different forms, so that made me quite happy. And the second was Brian Anderson, the counselor, who really showed who he was and where he came from and the path that he thought he might have been on and the commitment he has. And it made me think about how heartfelt he is to the students, to really meeting their needs. So I appreciate the Ed Foundation and the work they do, and I loved the venue. I loved the event. I think that was a great change since then. So I'd like to thank Brad Tompkins. He was the varsity football coach who stepped up and stepped in for Ron Myers. The SoCal High Field is named after his father. He was quarterback there. Brad was very kind to the children. He took over a program from a person who was existing on campus. It was not easy. I think the parents, you know, it's always a win kind of feeling that everybody wants, but I watched Brad work with the kids, and I think it needs to be appreciated. He and his family have moved, and he has left the program, and I'm very happy to welcome Dwight Lowry, former SoCal High student, Shoreline student, NFL player. There's quite a buzz going on there, and I think that it's quite an attraction. He has the time to offer to the students, so they're a little puffed up and hanging out in the weight room. I have the opportunity to meet with Heather Murphy. She's here right now, and Hall Pfeiffer. We usually check in, Heather and I, at least once a year. I like hearing about what's going on in our NGSS and our science leads. We had the opportunity to discuss Bayside, so I'm really excited for that. And I look forward to the groundbreaking ceremony on Friday at SoCal High for the new pool, 10:15. Thank you.
Well, I also attended the Eddie Awards and loved the new space, loved the feel of the whole thing. It was very welcoming. It was a lot of fun. And as Patty said, what really struck me was the speeches of the teachers. You know, we spend all our time worrying about, you know, our scores, test scores and data points and everything. And person after person got up and talked about how they got into teaching, how it had a lot to do with their teachers, how it had a lot to do with wanting to be able to offer something to the kids here that they either had been offered or realized they hadn't been offered. But it was so emotional, and they were such It was so much about them and the students that I was really touched, and I was really happy to hear it. So I recommend it, especially if you stay where you were. I think the Ed Foundation did a great job, and hopefully, where that particular setting, I think, is just perfect. They had a silent auction, and I got something. That never happens. I'm the kind of person that gets a turkey the day after Thanksgiving. So It's true. The only thing I ever want, turkey the day after Thanksgiving. I have visited the La Viega School. My first chance to really talk to the new principal, who was incredibly welcoming. And I also visited the dual immersion class of second graders. And when I started way back in my other lifetime, well, a couple lifetimes ago, I was a teacher, and the first thing I taught was second grade. And it was really nice to actually not be the one dealing with a whole bunch of almost third graders 1 month before the end of school. But it was also really fun to see a teacher who was calm in the face of, we just want to be out of here, feeling of kids at that age at that time. They were just full of energy and full of themselves. And she was doing such a great job. I really enjoyed it. Today, we met with the superintendent, Jeremy and I, at Francis Forty Middle. And I just want to mention it from the point of view of how welcoming the administrative staff was. In my particular case, I got food, that was really good because I was hungry. But they're just very welcoming and open there. And I really was happy to see that too. And finally, I just wanted to make a remark of happiness, of gratitude to the state of California, because our Secretary of Education for the nation has just pulled all of they write regulation descriptions for the parents so that the parents can know what they're allowed, what are their rights in terms of the schools. And our Secretary of Education for our nation pulled all the ones that informed parents of children who had disabilities or who were in special education, so they are no longer available to anybody in our country. And, of course, in California, we still follow those rules. So I'm really happy to be here, and I'm hoping that the day will come when those legal pieces of information that our parents and children need are available to them once again. Thank you.
Well, the Eddie Awards were amazing. I think it's been said over and over again. I particularly enjoyed the excitement from the schools that received the mini grants and hearing what they want to do with the money. I think that's really fun. Thank you, Ed Foundation. I also spent a wonderful Sunday afternoon at the Santa Cruz Art League looking at the all-student art show. Amazing art presented by our students. Many awards from our district, but all the high schools were represented. It's going to be showing through this weekend, and I encourage people to go if you have a chance. And I, too, enjoyed the visit to SoCal High School, and just so many opportunities for our kids there. It was wonderful. And I appreciate that opportunity. I think Dee Dee said it all. We saw the choir. We visited classrooms that we probably hadn't seen before, and heard the passion from the teachers in those classrooms. That's great. Good things are happening. Next item is the approval of the minutes, and the minutes for the meeting on April 18th will be the first. Is there a motion?
So moved. I'll second.
Okay, student recommendation?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? And then the minutes for April 25th.
Move approval.
Sheila, and a second?
Second.
And Cindy seconds. Students?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Our consent agenda is next. Are there items that you have questions about or would like? Oh, I'm sorry. Sheila's
no,
on next.
No, I was going to actually make it one of the poll thing.
Okay.
I would like to pull for comment, which I think means we don't have to wait till the end, right, Chris?
Well, you're not pulling it then.
So you're not pulling it. You're just
going to
make a comment.
I'm just going to make comments.
Okay.
On 8.1.8 and 8.1.12.
Okay. Any others?
My comment was one, 8.8.
Okay. Let's go ahead then. Sheila?
Okay. So 8.1.8 is the Green Schools Report, and after reading it, I just felt that it should be highlighted in terms of we have a volunteer Green Schools Committee that's been working for as long as I've been here and before, and they issue their annual report, and this is their annual report. What was striking to me about it was the amount of students. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 students who have done books or major presentations, major projects in the area of the Green Schools. And in general, when you read what they have managed to do as a volunteer committee, it is nothing but impressive. And I wanted to at least say thank you to them for the work they have done over this period of time.
Sheila, I echo your sentiments, and I'm happy to have this vehicle. One of the things as a parent that got me started is I met the environmental club at the high school my son attended, and this committee seems to continue on. It's a great space. Mm-hmm. I thank all who are involved in the time they take, because again, it is more time, but a great area to ruminate the ideas that need to come forward. Thank you for it.
Anyone? Jeremy?
Yeah, I've really enjoyed serving on the committee, and I'd like to thank Pat for leading this, leading the meetings. We've been really productive. I'm hoping that Heather will be able to hear to speak very briefly as part of this conversation.
When we go to comments for
consent agenda. So to close my remarks, I'd just like to say thank you to Pat. Trevor is often at meetings as well to answer questions. Thank you to him. It's really a good group, and you're right. The student presentations have been nothing short of outstanding. And I do hope that Bria's garden plan to honor the Branch 40 Indians at that site, Branch 40, the small school site, will continue. Really been a lot of fun. Thanks.
Okay. There are comments from the public.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the time. I'm Heather Murphy. I'm the science district science coach, and I've been a member with Pat and Jeremy of the Green Schools Committee when I can make it there. But really, I wanted to talk to you today about something that's in the report that's pretty powerful. So I'm passing around flyers, not enough for everybody because in the Green Schools we didn't need to make lots of papers, but just so that you could see something really powerful that's starting to happen. And let me back it up a little bit just briefly and say that we have, as you guys know, a wealth of amazing non-formal environmental educators in this community, an enormous number. And so what's happened in the past is that people are going on lots and lots of field trips, and they become a little bit Activia mania. And it's not integrated into a coherent learning sequence that actually develops the skill sets that we're wanting our students to graduate with. And so we have partnered with county office, the CPD, with districts throughout the county to offer this 1 week long professional learning this summer. We're CDs, we're providing funding, we're linking it to the goals of Green Schools, and we're taking the non-formals and 60, we're almost up to 70 teachers for a week to dive into the science standards, to link them with coherent learning sequences that are tied to NGSS and to their environmental education experience, so that when they go on that field trip, that is as rich as possible. It comes back into the classroom as a place to build your literacy, to build your math, to build your understanding of the environment. And I've been here lots of times and talked to you guys about science as this beautiful context for literacy and math and ELD. It's also the environment becomes this beautiful, rich context for science. It's, you know, I mean, I remember with Allie when we're out there at around a gulch, and they're digging into the creek and looking at this beautiful environment that we live in, and what can we do to, and I don't know if you have time at some point to talk about how that whole experience last year culminated in this very, very rich dialogue that students had about what can we do for our environment. We know we have that with our watershed project, and so now it's how can we get that for every grade? How can we tie in all of our non-formals to really be teaching this K-12? So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Do we have a motion?
I move approval.
Yes,
oh, I'm sorry, Sheila.
No. Okay. I also wanted to pull out for comment item 8.1.12, mm-hmm. Resolution establishing the Don Monroe Jr. Memorial Scholarship at Harbor High. Reverend Donald Monroe was the pastor of Felton Presbyterian Church for 20 years. And he, in his name, has started a scholarship. Well, I should say he was a longtime Rotarian who went by the motto, service before self, and has been an advocate for public education and public students. The scholarship is for $1,500 and is renewable for a second year in his name. And I think that's like quite a great gesture and gift to the Harbor High community. So I wanted to bring
acknowledge
it
that.
Announce it for everybody.
Thank you.
I made a motion, but I have the impression that there was more discussion.
That was it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were there any items that we pulled?
No, that was it. Okay, and the motion is from Deb. And a second?
Aye.
And Cindy seconded it? Okay. And it's roll call, students.
Aye.
Okay, report of closed session actions.
The board took action on certificated classified management, leaves, retirements, resignations, and appointments. The board heard information and took action on a resignation agreement. The board heard an update from and provided direction to SCCS negotiator Parks regarding negotiations with SCCCE for 2017-18. The board discussed the performance evaluation of the superintendent.
Thank you. Okay, our action, our business services, we have a staff report. Bond projects?
Yes, Ralph LaRue from Manny Architecture is going to share with you tonight. We're doing this rotation of architectural firms, so you get a sense of what has happened, the depth of what they're working on. I want to thank Ralph in particular. We had moved Ralph's presentation from April to May, then to June, and then we asked Ralph, hey, Ralph, by the way, you think you do a presentation in May, so a really short period of time. I know Ralph's team rallied and pulled together this information for you tonight, so I'm really pleased that Ralph can share this. Please come up.
Are you ready?
Yeah, turn it up.
Fire
it up for you. And here's Ralph. Here's the video. If that doesn't work, I'm going to scroll down for you.
Yes, I'm Rob.
Oh, sorry, Ralph. The other thing, just what we're working on, Chris, is we're going to ask me to talk about is the site committee efforts that are underway. There have been multiple meetings at sites. Ralph may talk about it, Trevor may talk about it tonight too, about the discussions that have been had at multiple sites. You've asked that when we bring forward projects to you for your consideration that are significant, that we have that historical reference document, which has changed in terms of what the current climate is like. So Ralph and Trevor can speak a little too about the committees that are happening to the sites. What I've asked staff to do, Trevor and Chris Garcia, to put together for you a matrix of committees, dates, and a simple synopsis of some of the discussions that are being held too at those meetings. So if there is a significant project that's coming forward to you for consideration, you said you don't want to make that decision in isolation. You want to know that some of those discussions happen at the site level, so the site's informed about what's happening.
Right.
So those are underway. We'll get you a matrix of those things, too. But Ralph may be able to speak to you, Trevor may be able to speak to you as well about some of the second. Okay? Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ralph LaRue, Marie Group Architects. Our firm is located just down the road, across the freeway, in the Sashville. We have a second office in San Jose, and both offices work on your projects. I function as program manager. We assign architects to each site, and we have under them about four or five people. So we have large teams to be able to look at these projects. We also use local consultants, and we keep the same team. So on all your projects, we've gone through the round of checking all the existing systems and condition of the buildings, and we are ready to go to really accelerate our plans, and I'll be talking through some exciting approvals that we've got recently. So I've been told tonight will be 10 minutes. I'm not sure. We're working on five sites. We have about 30 projects. If you do the math, that's a few seconds of me. So excuse me for going a little bit over there. So our sites are Bayview Elementary and De La Viega. And when we look at both of those, we try to keep the standards the same on what the future build-out would be. We also looked at the Bronson Public Small School campus, which is a fantastic campus that many different schools and grades and challenges and opportunities as well. And that includes alternative family education campus. And then SoCal High, we've just got a bunch of DSA approvals. We're really in good shape to move forward, so I'm going to talk you through that. So these images are the boards you see on the campuses, and for now they're pretty generic, and as we develop projects, we will actually modify these boards to illustrate what's coming up. Let me show you. So talking about stakeholder meetings, we love meeting people. We're the first campus is 3 or 4 miles from our office. We meet with, we're ready pick the principal to steer us, as well as the district, and we just had our first meeting with De La Viega Site Council, which I'll talk about in the next slide. But anyway, this is Bayview. With Bayview, we have some first DSA approval, actually a second DSA approval. We have the drop squad approved. The second one is moving our weapons portable out of the way so we can do some future work, and then also improve the site. On many of your sites, some of the older campuses, some of the systems needed to be replaced. For instance, a fire line, or perhaps there's not hydrant close enough. You cannot have a project approved through DSA if you don't have those things in place. So unfortunately, some of your money is going to spend on stuff that you don't really see, but it's really important. Keeps the school safe.
Ralph, can you just remind us what that acronym, the WPNS, what it stands for?
For the drops?
West Side Parent Education Nursery School.
Okay, thank you.
So actually, when we first started working with the district, we worked on the drops grant, which was exciting because we got to work with the city, the students at UCSC, and but what we've experienced year over year is about a 10% increase in construction costs. We're struggling to make that project meet the grant, But as we move through with our contractor, we are going to pick a way and make that happen. That's my goal. We completed re-roofing the campus. I mean, that's kind of the first thing you should do with the building is protect your investment so that you have a highly reflective roof that reduces the cooling need on that building in the future. So with Bayview, it's really exciting what we're going to be doing with the portables. The older portables eventually will go away. We're fundamentally flipping the campus around. We're going to allow for a longer drop-off and parking area and have the kids be more inbound in the campus. And so one of the first projects we just mentioned, moving the weapons, the reason why we did that was to create space for two of the kindergarten classrooms. So we have two kindergarten classrooms that are kindergarten size, which is bigger than a regular classroom. And then we have two kindergarten classrooms that are located in regular classrooms. So if we figure if we build two new kindergarten classrooms, that frees up classrooms for regular construction. Also, the common thread of all of our projects is to try to eliminate the need for interim housing. Mm-hmm. Which interim housing are portables that you set for 1, 2, or 3 years, you rent them, they're quite pricey, we call that sunk cost. You're not really getting for your value for money. So with some scheduling and maybe buildings that you know you're going to need up front, that allows us to populate those spaces, including the existing portables on site while we modernize the classroom. So that's a common thread through all of our projects. So in that vein, this project, Bayview has a lot of portables, if you see on the top left, that needs to be replaced. So one of our first projects that could break ground as early as fall, if we get our approvals in a row, is a new classroom building there. So that new classroom building will exist at the same time as portables. And again, our focus will then be to modernize the existing classrooms. So De La Viega, for the elementary school, but completely different construction type. It's a CMU wall, built a little bit more like a commercial building. It doesn't have as many portables, but we are looking at following a similar strategy in building one smallish wing. I think we've been able to actually reduce the size of that wing and still accommodate the number of classrooms with some master planning, and we'll bring updates as we proceed. This summer, we actually have the first project that's going to move ahead, which is the drop-off area. That's an extension of the parking lot, which almost doubles the size of the parking lot, and that will allow more cars to be off the street.
I'm going to show you how to use this thing. It's not intuitive.
Okay.
So that if you do this right here, it'll show this is the parking lot here. It's this top button, and then that's to move forward.
Okay.
I'm sorry. We should warn you before we can do that.
I need my giant readers for this, though.
De La Viega actually just had a meeting with them yesterday afternoon. Site council went very well. They came up with not really questioning the projects we have in hand, but really discussing priorities and rebalancing those priorities. So we got some fruitful thoughts. We make some notes, and we'll go back and that together with the contractor's estimate, present that at the next meeting, and then discuss which projects we move forward with first. So this campus, a lot of these classrooms are undersized. So when we modernize this campus and these higher grade classrooms, we'll actually be able to make some of those classrooms bigger by moving some of those walls. We have We are considering safety at this campus. Very easy for somebody to enter Villa Viega and not be seen by admin. So we're aware of that, and we want to address that. We want to make the kindergarten playground safer, more flushed out surface than different levels where kids can run and trip. Oops. So we have to finish this drop-off this summer, and then we'll start in earnest to get our approvals for the building. Build the building between the fall and the end of next summer. Modernization then would be phased in, starting summer of 19, and we'll be going as quickly as we can while the kids are out of school. So natural bridges. The focus here is actually on the shared gym. Currently, we have a bed out there to repair all the surfaces in the interior. When that takes place, we will do a second bed for the exterior, which has some dry rot. This building and the campus is currently being re-roofed. That project should end in about a month, so that'll be fantastic. I'm sure you're aware that the first parking lot is the asphalt has failed, so we'll be replacing that asphalt, improving the accessible stall, and it's closer to the entrance, easier to use. We're looking at resurfacing the floor on the interior. There'll be a new surface, new finishes all throughout. So that's the before and after pictures. This picture was taken maybe 2 weeks ago.
Can I just ask a quick question, Mr. LaRue? Is there a restroom that goes with the gymnasium there, and is it being redone?
Great question. The first phase is not the restroom, but we will be submitting to DSA on the restroom that we're going to add in about, I think it's a week next week, we'll submit on that.
Thank you.
So as soon as that gets approved, then we'll be able to put that out and attach that to the wall. So Brunswick Water is small schools. It's got a huge presence of water streets, and we started off and we designed a replacement. We met several times with AP and designed a replacement village. They were very happy with it. Our problem is, again, we didn't want to bring in a bunch of oracles. And so we thought long and hard, met several times, and figured out that replacing the other existing portables gets you to a building about the same size as AAP. So we think if we build that building first, AAP could relocate to that building while we do their campus. They could move back, and the people who have the portables could move into the new building. That way you save, you're not spending the money on interest. Of course, we currently have the playground out to bid. The reason why we're doing the playground first is because we need to clear the site for this building that we're suggesting that we do first. So this summer we'll be doing this playground. It includes a shade structure, so kids will have an extensive shade structure. And then, so that project has just recently been approved last week by DSA. And included in our project is a ramp down into existing restrooms that will be made ADA compliant. So you have two ways to get to those restrooms, either down the ramp or down the elevator, which is probably not going to be a choice. The ramp is going to be way more convenient. So that's actually a graphic of the play structure.
on the top right. Any questions?
So there was issue, because we have so many things at that campus, have we decided on an entrance and an egress? Is it going to be multiple still? Are we looking to funnel? That was one of the concerns I heard in the very early stages. I have no idea where we are.
So we haven't made any final decisions yet, but that has been a big topic of conversation about how to route people through sort of singular portals. For control and also still allowing exiting. Well, we haven't solved the problem yet, but we are working on it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you kind of have your ceremonial entrance off the road, which is should not the formal entrance.
Right.
And then, you know, you got your drop-off entrance, and then you got your third everyday, you know, kid access to the playground.
Mm-hmm.
If we manage to pull off extending that drop-off, that it can actually spill onto the road through as a drive-through, the way a drop-off should work, and just exit there,
yeah.
Then we may end up looking at an entrance in this area. But we have ADA challenges there, obviously, because of the height difference.
And a huge tree, and we don't own the property next door. It's tight.
So, really, our focus, you know, We did a little bit of site refinement, and our focus was what can we get started this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So we've pulled that off our field, and now we're going to rebalance onto looking at the longer plan and making sure that next year is very, very busy. So those are all our meetings. I'm sure you've had a look at those. Again, we have DSA approvals for this. And these could be DSA approved very quickly. So SoCal High, we have submitted the modernization package for Wing 300. That's where the current district office is located. We expect approval before end of summer. So feasibly, the contractor could begin work there in, say, October. They do wings around 6 months per wing. So we could also push it up, but that's kind of just to give you an idea, because it's an interior mod. It's kind of, it's a good project for in the wintertime anyway.
Mm.
We also have DSA approval for a concession building of the field. That's just occurred last week. And we have DSA approval for interim housing. Currently up to bid is resurfacing of the tennis courts. You should know next week how much, you know, that would cost, and I'm sure you'll be seeing that in your board packet. Both tennis courts here in Soquel and Harbor High. So we cut out the marquee sign that's just being finished. And this is a graphic of this is the graphic of Wing 300 that's been modernized. Interim housing, which is where we, if we determine we need less portables, we could just subtract them. But having approval in hand allows us a lot of flexibility. And then this is the concession building, which includes restrooms. Again, back to the fire lines. This campus had a 4-inch line serving the whole campus. This is an underground line that connects all the fire hydrants. It used to feed off a tank, and it was not functioning to the federal code. We cannot do a major project without having that fire line either improved or replaced.
Mm-hmm.
We did some analysis on it, and we are actually going to be replacing that line. Fire marshals. Very happy about that. The same campus, we're also looking at fire truck access as we go through. So that project is currently in the DSA as well. It's been engineered. And I believe that's it. If you
Any questions? Okay, Patty, you're first.
Thank you, Mr. LeRoux. Just going in to, I know that the school site is very happy for their marquee, and the campus has long shared the preschool sign that looks like it's being eaten up. Is there a plan to move that for them so that the, if you can see in here, we put up the nice big marquee, and it stands right in front of the little Soquel preschool sign, so if it could be moved. I saw the parents plant that and do a planting. I have no idea. Just thought I'd point that out to keep some community happiness between the little guys down there. It's just a little wooden sign, and they put a garden in it. I watched them do it when they did the modernization of the other piece. And did you say that the concession stand, we're still waiting for the DSA approval? It's on the, what does on the counter mean when it says over the counter?
So if you go with the pre-engineered building plan, mm-hmm. modular building plan, you can literally reveal the DSA over the counter, OTC over the counter, and that's the proof that sent it. And so we have that project approved, OTC.
Can I just add to that a little bit? So the beauty of over-the-counter is you can actually get an appointment if there's a gap in their schedule. And I'll just give it. So if they've got a gap on Friday, come in on Friday at 10 o'clock. Whereas the normal process, they mandate a minimum of 6 to 8 week lead time. Then there's intake time. Then there's scheduling the meeting time. So you're out 2 to 3 months before you've got anything done. So over-the-counter is kind of huge, particularly if you get lucky and get one within the next few weeks. So that's why it's exciting to us.
Sheila?
I don't know whether I'm already supposed to know this, but I just wanted to clarify. With the La Viega, is there a plan for making the back of that campus safer already, or are we still trying to figure it out?
Well, not by fencing, but definitely by visual, visual lines of sight, other than that, and then...
Visual lines of sight from the front?
No. From the playground, the teachers have spoken a lot about that, the restroom that sits in the middle there, that, the kids run around and you can't see them, so we're aware of that. That's all we can do right now.
That's what I couldn't figure out exactly what you're going to do.
Yeah. The other thing is to focus the entrance, make the entrance better. Part of our parking is a ramp that comes down from the street, an accessible ramp. And so I know kids get dropped off of the bus up there, so instead of coming through the back entrance, they're going to be easier to come through where they should be. Mm.
So sounds good.
We're taking in
thank you. Patty?
Maybe in the weeds a little bit, but on the tennis court resurfacing at the high schools, does that include new windscreens and nets?
Yes.
All the whole shebang? I play tennis, so the windscreens and nets. New and nets, but the windscreens I know at Soquel High were donated because the old ones.
They all need to be replaced.
Okay. And then they'll be the new ones weren't professionally put up because they were donated, so they weren't strung correctly. Mm-hmm. Will that happen? Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, this is a staff report. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Our next item is a resolution.
Yeah, this is an annual resolution we bring forward to you for temporary cash loans from the Santa Clara County Treasurer. So this is for the upcoming fiscal year. So it's a recommendation that you approve the resolution for that.
Questions?
Interest rates are going up, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Move approval. Well, comments from the public? Okay, go ahead, move approval. Sheila moves approval. Is there a second?
I second that.
Thank you. 2 seconds. And this is a roll call, so students?
Aye.
Thank
you.
And now the landscaping project.
Just asking Trevor, he wants to talk to these two items. This is the Coastal Rebellion and the potential alternates that are chosen by the site bond committee standard contract terms for Mission Hill Middle School front landscape included.
All right, so it's a long time coming, Mission Hill front landscape. This is the second time we've bid it, trying to get better prices. We did get better prices. We saved $2,000. So a lot of effort and energy went into NOAA. However, the package is also a little different. It's slightly enhanced in a few areas based on some input we got from the staff. There's also some alternates in there, and those we want to take back to the committee meeting, but we haven't had a chance to get that scheduled yet. Trying to get everybody's calendars put together. The two alternates are for a new sign in the front and a new shade / rain shelter for the pickup area. And the reason there's four alternates and two options is there's two options for each alternate. One brings a very stylistically designed piece that matches the building almost to perfection, and the other one's just a big stick frame that works. So there's sort of the meat and potatoes and something that will be wonderful for the next 100 years or so. And the same applies to the sign. You know, there's the steel sign version in the front of Mission Hill, or there's the Mission style sign in the front of Mission Hill. So we thought that would be best talked about with that particular committee. They may choose none of those options and come up with another one that's always on the table, but I wanted to present all that to you tonight. So we're looking forward to actually proceeding with that. This is not just a landscape and not just a concrete and not just a pickup area. It also solves some safety issues. The new ramp that goes into the front doors of the building now instead of the one that goes through the back door. So now they can only have, during the day, they can lock down all the exterior and have the one primary entrance where people can get eyes on who's coming and going as opposed to people coming and going from multiple entrances. It's also very nicely styled, so again, points view for the potential style of the building. And then there's some obviously some very nice drought tolerant landscaping with a rather statuesque sort of palm tree in the front to give it a little pizzazz.
Questions? Go ahead, Cindy.
Just a question about the alternate design options here and just the process that would go through from here to get to a decision on those alternates. So the report said, and what I heard you say, was that the site will choose the alternates. So walk me through that. You take this back to the site team?
Yes, we're going to take this back to the site team that has been appointed to make that type of decision as opposed to going back with the principal and teachers and staff. This is the more board-based group that have a more specific role in validating our ideas and or priorities and or changing them.
So they would, in a sense, make a recommendation to your core team. Now, obviously, you're at those meetings and you come up to a, you reach a consensus with that group,
yes.
Is that right? And then it would come back to the board for final approval?
It can go either way.
So just I was going to ask you technically, Trevor, too, just walk the board through. So tonight, what we're asking the board for approval of is the base bid and the alternates,
right,
the maximum amounts.
Right.
And if the committee so chooses and asks for a lesser dollar amount for the alternates, then we would move forward and proceed with those lesser expense amounts. We can come back and report to you what the committee asked for, but we can proceed with the contractual piece of it, get the contract rolling,
sure,
and bring
that
back to you for gratitude. Just so, yeah, it's good, but good discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks.
Other questions? Oh, Patty.
This was, excuse me, I just want to be clear, this was the design that was presented, we had a visual for the design, okay, and then the concerns for what, and I'm happy to have a rain shelter, I'm happy to have shelter, but in that area is the shelter, how will we keep it such that the shelter is for school use? As opposed to community use, because it's on a residential street, and it still has the 1889 one lamp in front of the school. I can't remember if there was lighting issues that they put, but that was one of the things that, as a business owner, we saw, that when a particular piece like that came, it wasn't used as wanted. Can you talk me through that?
Yeah, so in the middle of the night, there's probably very little we can do to stop somebody using it as a shelter. The good news is it's not a building, per se, it's kind of shelter posts or roofless posts. So as a place to hang out during the day, they would be chased off. We would have the police there and things to take care of it. I guess it's not much different than some of the other bus stops and that type of thing. I mean, when it's 8 o'clock in the night, it's raining, there's a good chance someone may be using it.
Mm-hmm. And I don't remember, you might know, Patty, but I thought this was a high priority for the...
It's been mentioned
many times,
right.
But I had that same question.
Drop off and pick up, but that problem is definitely one that comes with that type of arrangement.
And follow up, if I may. On the hardscapes and anything that's for the students to sit on, and not taking away because I love to skateboard, what is there any elements in the design to help curtail an all-night skateboard park?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't remember if we ended up going with an insert or a pop-out, but one way or the other.
It's in the design.
They can't rail along.
Thank you. The community will ask in retrospect on that street, so I thought I'd ask now. Thank you. Well, yeah, all-night skateboard park. Historic. You know, it's a historic one.
Yeah, and it'd be lit to 10 o'clock at night, too, so that'd be incredible.
Hey, Santa Cruz High used to be on the top 5 in Skateboard Magazine for a long time.
Are there any other questions? No, it's an action item. Now, I guess I should ask the public if you have any comments. Action item. Thank you, Deb.
Second.
Reverend Sheila, and student recommendation. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstained? 7-0.
Thank you.
Do you want me to say that? I would just say for the next 2 items we talked last time, we share with you that for the lease back contracts, we bring back these 4 different documents to you. So the next 2 items are these 4 documents for 2 particular projects. I'm sure we can speak to the projects. There's the general conditions, there's the site lease, there's a lease back, and the sublease payment schedule. And the superintendent, I think, or Nancy mentioned to you what Trevor brought forward to you tonight is an addendum, which is for the site sublease payments for the Flint construction project. The contracts reference the dollar amount, but this is the breakdown of the actual payments. And And so the first thing we're looking at is the lease back for XL Construction. The actual contract with XL Construction references the project as a singular project of both pools. And recall we had that discussion about trying to get economies of scale in the market if we had 2 pools being done as opposed to 1. Working through with council, though, what we're bringing for you tonight is a first phase, so we're breaking off just the Soquel pool tonight. But the reason that the documents refer to both pools is because the contract with the contractor references the project as both pools. But what we're bringing for you tonight is just the first phase of that contract for the Soquel pool. So we wanted to walk through because there was some question about the term why are both pools referenced if we're only acting on one. Mm-hmm. So we work with council to put it together that way. Patty, sorry.
Your light's on?
So my question would be how we would be bound because when we asked for that initially, we were looking for 2 pools of the same size. And now as we've moved forward on the project, we have found that the soils will not necessarily hold. And this is where the board has been apprised. And I believe that we've been told, or maybe I'm just hearing it in my head, or both, that there is the possibility of a different site, but it won't be the same, possibly not the same size pool. So I have a concern about having a contract that is addressing 2 phases should we get to the second phase and perhaps for whatever reason, whatever happens. And I don't want it to slow the first project that is definitely at the gates with the DSA and we have a dollar amount. And I don't want the second phase or the first phase to infringe on each other's costs because I need to know that that's separate for the community.
Yeah.
and how we'll see it. So can you tell me what could happen should the second project not come to fruition at this point? Would we be bound in a weird way?
No, we're not bound. It's part of the original agreement, that original lease-back agreement. It's ultimately flexible. We have to come to a mutual understanding, or we don't have an agreement. What we are currently doing is we're enacting an increment one of that original understanding. It says we are going to proceed, if approved, with SoCal Pool as increment one. And increment two is yet to be determined.
Okay.
And the good news, and it's a little bit complicating at times, but we are still potentially going to get some economies of scale. If it starts soon enough, there's going to be some overlap of overhead costs. So we will actually still see some potential savings, aside from increases for moving it and decreases for smaller and all those other possibilities. But the reality is this one stands on its own, and the next one will stand on whatever is.
And another way to complicate it, perhaps, but the discussions we had was not dissimilar to the Harbor Field, when we talk about scope with the contractor. So in some ways, although it's different sites, it's a matter of scope of the project as well, too, and I think that's somewhat charged around. So we've talked this through with council, and your questions you were asking, Patty, we wanted that assurance, too, so we talked to council about it as well, and with the contractor.
Okay.
Other questions?
I did want to bring up a little issue when you look at the payment schedule. It's very different than what you traditionally see with a construction project. Typically, that's based on very specific amounts of work. It's been validated, and then you get paid 3 days later, and you keep monitoring the whole way through. Lease-back's gone through some interesting legal maneuvering over the last few years based on some incidents in Fresno, and the legislature, in their infinite wisdom, decided they wanted to recreate that whole payment process to make it, in my mind, my personal opinion, more difficult for people to implement it, because it puts the burden on the buyer to pay more up front than perhaps you'll be comfortable with, and then it puts the burden on the end on the contractor to carry the contract without getting paid as much. So you see this really strange series of just very standard identical payments, and then a series of smaller payments. And that's just based on the way the legislators written the law and the way our attorneys have said, in order to meet the law, to do it this way. And that's just the new game in town.
Okay. Any comments from the public?
When you pay the front end of the loan up front, are you avoiding more interest payments to do it that way?
The interest payments, we're only actually paying interest on the residual of... So there's a multitude of payments, so I can explain this easily. So we have a contract amount, and before we get to the end, we withhold 5%. So take 5% off the contract amount and then divide that over by the equal payments of the construction schedule. That 5% is what we pay finance fee. So it's a matter of a handful of thousands of dollars on the project. Tenant's fixed. It doesn't go up or down no matter what we do. That's kind of a way of checking the box and the board.
Okay.
Just another question, math-related perhaps, so thank you. You had talked of the potential of some savings, and should it come to fruition, would it only be savings on the second project because we're moving in that direction, or would the savings be applied to both?
So savings, Patty, architectural fees is one of the special kind of terms of savings, and then there's construction costs, right, with the general contractor. So for, general conditions, to mobilize is what I'm trying to think of, right? So some economies and scale have, resources close by. So that's the discussion that XL is having with us, and XL is having, too, in terms of the discussion we're having with subs who will do that work. Ultimately, it'll come from the savings from that. Their profit and overhead is a component, but their work with the subs, there's a component of that as well, too. So the architectural fees, the general contractor and the subs that are working with the contractors as well, too. So it's a long answer to your question, which is...
And to address the architectural fees, the last one, we actually got discounted rates on the SoCal pool. So that one's been applied to both sides as if both are happening.
Okay, except for the architectural fees, because there's so much change. And the second piece is one site paying more for the other site's changes?
No. Would it,
so meaning that when the initial piece to look for the savings came was that the community and the board had decided that both sites would get 40 by 25, 40 by something. I know 40 is the word I'm looking for. And now that was so that we would have one replicated set of plans. This is the same pool going to site A and site B. Other ancillary pieces would work because of the site. But now, if because of other problems, we have designed site A, but site B isn't going to use it, and site B is going through revisions, and architect is site A paying the revisions cost.
Yeah.
And so I would like to be very clear that when we have some reconciliation of the monies per site, that you can show that.
Sure.
Okay, and that'll be great. I can
sure.
be fine
okay.
with that.
Okay.
And would the reconciliation also take into account that the Harbor High pool is going to be considered more expensive, even as a smaller pool, most likely, than the SoCal High pool? So that will, I'd like to know the percentage of the reconciliation.
Yeah, when we get to the, ultimately, when you act on the cost for the Harbor pool, you'll have to do a similar exercise to what you're doing tonight. You can act on the sites of these payments for that pool. The part of the overall process, too, if you think about it very simplistic, we talk to the Harbor community about it, we might go from 40, maybe 32, 33, 35, whatever will fit into that space it'll fit into after they've done these soils reports and looked in that lower quad area. The cost that we're going to incur, too, as part of the overall construction envelope, is it'll be a smaller pool, which intuitively means it's less cost, there's less concrete and things like that. But there's also cost to fill in the other pool. And so that cost has to be tabulated and put into the overall umbrella. So it may be that both pools cost the same amount of money, but we had to fill in an old pool, which we didn't have to fill in the other place. So, but that's the discussion that's underway regarding the Harbor pool right now. Does that answer your question, Deb?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm just wanting to be sure that the that there is a separate piece for true cost to each site. Because though we went with the intention, we are no longer anywhere near the intention of what it brought, which was that one pool plan was going to serve two sites. So I think that the cost analysis has to reflect what it took at each site. Site one could have been 100 times more expensive. I wouldn't have wanted site two to pay for. So does that make sense?
Both sites have their own code. So every dollar spent at each site is coded to that site specifically, and contracts are separated. So everything's coded specific by site. So when you see the spreadsheets of how that is paid, it will very specifically line out what dollar was spent where.
Okay. And then as we move forward with the first pool, will we be able to start seeing some reconciliation so that we can follow the trail?
So what we talked about, Pat, is doing these budget reports to you.
Okay.
So whatever that quarter-to-date expenses, I just saw a report. I think that Tricia sent us an email yesterday of all the expenditures of April, so we're having that discussion. But that will be presented to you. But yeah, you will be able to see it now, by site, by project.
Well, that will help us to know where we are with master plan what we've spent, and it may have to help us shift in whatever direction.
That's kind of relative to your request of the last meeting, too, Pat. It says, can I see these dollars in context of...
I reconcile my checkbook before I spend. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, do we have a motion for...
Approval.
Okay.
Second.
And Deb and Patty. Students?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained?
No, thank you.
When's the groundbreaking?
Friday.
What time?
10:15.
Anybody who might want to be there. Does it work for, CCS is going to, we have a caliber team, Aptos is shaken now. Does it work for you? Is there any way to do it like at 8 for drop-off? Or can you discuss that? Because your swim teams are heading off to CCS.
Yeah, we have to leave campus at
9:30.
Yeah,
10
o'clock we leave.
This is
school.
So hard hat area.
We'll have them ready for you.
Can watch the
Gail and Trevor, will you discuss that? Can it be? Can it move?
We can.
They're just leaving at 10 o'clock, so if it's ceremonial, can it be at 9:30?
The reason we put it at 10:15 is that's the break time when kids can be out to see it.
Yeah.
But the swimmers are going to CCS.
And
also
so we want to get a picture of one out as they go a little on the bus.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Yeah, we'll do. We'll give them a shovel and do that.
Okay.
Are you bussing out from the site?
The big white bus.
So 10:15.
Okay, moving on. 8.5.2.5.
Yes.
And that's the one we had this for?
Oh, that's, I'm sorry, that's same. So this is the, that's right, you have this site sublease payments addendum that Trevor provided to you.
So this is the De La Viega structure and parking lot.
Correct. This is what Mr. LaRue had shown you earlier. It's going on at De La Viega. There's a parking lot extension as part of that. Also includes a new ADA ramp from the upper road, lighting in the parking lot, some very nice and green features. We have a water swale built into it as well to give us some drainage, and also a little rain shade structure in the front for the drop-off and pick-up area.
Cindy?
I was just trying to understand the fee structure in our board book here on the final page is the Flint RFQ board-approved fee structure, which shows 1.306 for 1,306,000, and then what you gave us here, I'm trying to reconcile that figure with the Exhibit A and B that you gave us.
Yeah, so the final number is one that I had calculated based on adding the potential finance fee, and I miscalculated. That's why the contractor actually gifted me in charge of that. And so that sheet I added to you actually breaks that fee down. You can see what that is there. Am I right there? I can spend all day playing with numbers. So actually, the should be, I think, 1,306 is the actual total of the payments when you add the finance charge.
Yeah.
Okay. I was right. I just did it in a non-clear way.
Any questions?
So the page you gave us is...
The page I gave you is correct. What it doesn't take into account in the first amount of payment is the actual finance charge.
Okay.
I have to add that in.
Thanks a lot.
Any other questions? Anybody from the public?
I have approval.
Deb? And is there a second?
Second.
Yeah. Students?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 7-0.
Thank you.
Hey, we.
Exciting times.
Very. Thank you. We have a staff report update on central office move.
Yeah. So, in your board pad and your board documents, we provided to you some information, which is a depiction of the office spaces where the superintendent's office, human resources, special education. Business services. Student services. So we've been working with Palace and some other folks too, but Palace in particular, and everything associated with the district office, we want to bring it out, be transparent, have visible to the public too, that says what we're doing. And so we share with you tonight a diagram that in your board pad that shows a depiction of that furniture for the office, the common areas. And I thought, I'm so sorry, Nancy, I didn't, I can fire up on the screen here for you, too, really quickly.
Because you didn't have a PowerPoint, right?
I did, and I just had one slide, and it's in the board pad, so I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's
okay. I can show folks really quickly.
Plot plan, top right.
Top right, there it is, thank you. Okay, So, I'm sorry, this is a little different variation, but this is a picture of the whole building, and what you have in your board pad is really the furniture's got these spaces here. All the way in here, this is HR, superintendent, curriculum instruction, special education, and then this is the business services office here. In the front here, we have nurses, program specialists,
student services,
as in the front. This is the main entrance here. This is where the groups I just spoke to are going, a conference room here. And what you have in board pad shows the common area furniture, which is going along this section right here. And then throughout this, we're taking out just a few walls. We're working with Bogart to take out a few walls to open up this space so there's access between these two offices. There's more of a flow as opposed to having these walls that are there currently, so that you have a rendering of that in front of you. And this is a smaller space. The office furniture we have in our current space won't fit into these common area spaces, so it's workstation based. We're in the process, I think Superintendent said earlier tonight, we're in the process of consolidating, and you sign a contract with Ed files. There's a lot of special education files we have for active and inactive. We're across digitizing some inactive files, so we'll be able to digitize. I know that the human resource department's been working on that digitization of files for quite some time. The business office will be digitizing some old files, and we'll be cleaning out a bunch of old stuff we don't need to hold on to, but it's just been, you know, aggregated over the years. So I'll see if I can find another quick slide. You have your board pad too, that just shows. But we wanted, again, full transparency with the purchases we're making. The request of you tonight is to approve this purchase of Palace for this common area furniture. Just so you know, the other discussion we're having, I mentioned Bogart Construction is going to help with a couple of walls. It's a small job. There's some electrical work to be done for these common area spaces, power pole types of things that come down through the ceiling for power. We have quotes from Cruzio as the internet service provider to the building. I met with some folks earlier today to talk about phones, data, routers, servers. Mm-hmm. I was looking at a quote just tonight I got from Curtis tonight, too. So over the next couple of weeks, we'll be working on all these things to a tentative move date for the first phase of this, which is associated with the tenants who are leaving next week. The first phase will move in tentatively by June 25th. The tenants who are in the Serena group, which is in where the business office is moving into, they are occupying that space. Their lease doesn't expire until the end of July. Mm-hmm. So the business office will move over in August. All the other folks will move over tentatively and be in their offices on June 25th. So we're mapping out all those specific tasks between now and that time frame. We met with Locatelli today, the moving company, who will come in and move our actual furniture for us. And as each of those contracts, we'll bring forward more contracts for you at the next board meeting. We want all the information relative to the district office to be fully transparent in terms of costs. Okay. Any quick questions about that?
I think Jeremy was first.
Numbers 1, 2, 3, 4 represent four areas where there'll be costs for the move.
Right.
You've talked to us ballpark figures, $400,000 to $500,000. Does that still seem about right?
It does.
Okay.
I think it'll be less, Jeremy.
And you'll keep us, Patty keeps talking about reconciliation, so
absolutely,
we'll just get that as each
one
comes.
Absolutely.
It's looking that we're going to have to do far less work inside the buildings than
absolutely
we thought.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
But the next board meeting, I expect we'll bring you additional, because I said we have to get to you. Well, my preference is we get to the next board meeting so we get all this work done. If we want to be in by June 25th, that's a really short time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Pat, the other thing I would add is the Palace furniture, as Pat said, is for the common areas, the open areas, so that it flows as an office and it fits in the space that we have. All the offices are taking either furniture that's in their office right now or some of the other furniture that's in that's there that, you know, wouldn't necessarily be going. I mean, in my office, there's a desk that a gal sits in. She's going to have a new desk that's a lot better than my desk as far as storage, so I'm going to take that one into my office. So that's, we've been taking people there to look at it, to really look at what would fit, what doesn't fit. And as Pat said, Locatelli came today and will get us a quote and kind of a process of numbering things and a numbering system of how we get everything moved and organized. So the nice thing is the expense is going into kind of common areas that have more of a space issue, but yet we have enough furniture for the most part for the offices.
We are going to have to purchase some conference
tables. Possibly some conference tables, yeah.
Just because we're not going to have the conference, the meeting space that we're having to, so we're using smaller desks in some of the offices so we can create meeting spaces in those offices in addition to office space. Because we'll have offices that are doubling as conference rooms for interviews and other things.
Hey, Patty Snicks.
Can you tell me what Fund 400 is in school finance? Because these dollars come out of Fund 400. I'm sorry, I thought...
That's okay, I'm sorry, Patty. I'm blanking on the term for it. It's our...
It'll come to you. I have another question.
There's a building fund and lease revenue that we'll be using to pay for this. That's what our discussion
is. Okay, so... Fund
building fund for the structure, for the structural pieces, infrastructure, and then we'll look at Fund 400, which is lease revenue that's been generated for the furniture.
Oh, so lease revenue is Fund 400, and that can be spent on. And what can Fund 400 be spent on in the district?
So here is the guidance. I had a discussion with council because I saw something in school services a few months ago that said there are restrictions associated. But I spoke with council, and my practice has always been that districts should use those for capital facilities types of items, things that you would capitalize, vehicles, technology. As opposed to some districts have used lease revenue for other things such as ongoing recurring expenditures. These are one-time in nature.
So do we expect we'll be using Fund 400 for anything else?
Such as?
Well, that's the question.
Such as
a question. Meaning
oh,
that when
well,
I see
as
this...
As an example...
The only reason I ask is because then Fund 400 is no longer available elsewhere as we deplete from it. This is very small, and I understand, and I thank Molly for answering my other question, what's going with us, which sounds like everything. But I just was curious to, when you know, everybody, LCFF and how you can explain out to the community what a fund can do.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
really quickly, funds that have been generated from that lease were dedicated towards a curriculum master plan.
Okay.
So some of those funds being dedicated towards that. But we've also had discussions together as a team about the needs we have for bus replacement.
Okay.
And that we've got some lease-to-own options that we've discussed already for vehicles, curriculum master plan, and technology. We're having discussions with our financial advisor about whether we might entertain an option like a COP for technology acquisition. And this goes hand in hand with our discussions relative, I know I'm segueing from the agenda item, but it goes hand in hand with the discussion we've been having. Deb was at the meeting tonight. We started out this Bring Your Own Device initiative.
Okay.
We have 2,500 Chromebooks that'll be 5 years old at the end of next year
that
we need to make a decision about. So at a price tag of about $300 a piece, you're looking at $750,000. Now you could finance that over a couple of year period of time. So if you did a COP to accelerate the cash, you could pay for it that way.
Okay. I have a follow-up, but I know there are other questions.
I have the same question, so I'm fine.
Okay, so my last is because, and Mr. LaRue explained that the start work at Soquel High will be in Building 300. Am I under the impression that it'll start fairly soon because finance won't be out until August?
We've talked about it. He mentioned October, Patty.
Oh, okay. Was he mentioning October for Soquel High? He was mentioning October.
He was mentioning October for Soquel High. Wing 300 is what I recall him talking about.
Okay. It was one of the Octobers.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. There was another October. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, Sheila, is your light on?
No.
Okay.
That's
all right. You were just playing. Okay.
This is not an action item? This is a...
Oh, it is an action item for the money.
For the purchase of the furniture.
I see. Got it.
Oh, I'm sorry, okay. Because I just thought it was information.
Oh, it was background.
This is actually... Okay, so we didn't list it as an action item. This is an action item. We're asking for your approval of this purchase. As opposed to a purchase order, we brought it forward in this banner so you could see what's happening so we have transparency in regard to the district office.
It says, okay, recommendation, and then the background. I was going to say, can we do that?
Can we do that?
Because it's listed this...
We didn't agendize it that way. Yeah, you'd make a motion. Yeah.
And the board cover is there that with the recommendation for approval.
Yeah.
But help me out for that, because if you tell the public you're giving background, and then you turn around and approve something...
And then you act.
Can we just bring it on the next now that we know?
The trouble is, Pat, there's lead time on the furniture.
It says on the board cover, recommend approval of purchase order with Palace Business Solutions. So that was publicly published.
Okay, that's what I want to make sure that it doesn't... There we go.
As a point of parliamentary, we have often made motions for expenditures or direction that aren't advertised as such.
Aren't on here.
In discussion, and something will come up, and someone will say, well, I really want to give direction, and we've done that in the past, so it is allowable, but I appreciate your concern.
Okay.
And again, as opposed to being embedded, the other purchase orders that you do approval on, we isolate it so we have this be visible.
If you hadn't isolated, I would have pulled it.
Are there comments from the public? We have a motion.
Second.
Deb and Cindy. Students?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Is it time for a break?
I got to say, it's very exciting. We're moving on a lot of bond stuff. Yeah. And I think the public is beginning to see some movement.
It's exciting.
I'm wondering how many people will get out for the Soquel High groundbreaking. I want a shovel.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a shovel.
Okay, well, we have an athletic report now.
We're just going to take a picture as we slap each other's hair.
Okay.
Are we taking a break? No, go ahead.
Just keep going.
Keep on keeping on. Thank you.
So I'm going to present up here Eric Reddy, who is our AD at Santa Cruz High, and we have Stu and Hollis here as well from Soquel and Harbor High. So start out with our vision statement, and this is something we've worked on as a group. It's been pretty steady for the last two years about we worked on it and really committed to engaging hearts and minds of every student every day, with our athletic programs being a really key piece to that. We have our goals. Provide a venue for students to pursue athletic goals, leadership, sportsmanship, scholarship, just kind of pulling out some highlight words here for you. Approach the competition, win or lose, with dignity. Representing the school community in a professional manner. It's really important to representing. And this is an integral part of our comprehensive educational experiences for middle schools, high schools, and small schools. Here is our budget. This is out of Measure O. Thank goodness for Measure O. It has really done wonders for our athletic programs. This is all money that was fundraised for years and years, and now with Measure O, it is used to support our athletic directors, our referees. That's a huge expense. Mm-hmm. League fees, and of course our coaching stipends, which was a huge switch that the coaches didn't have to fundraise for their own stipends. I'm turning it over to Coach B here.
So one of the things we've been doing, you know, as far as updating with our coaches and stuff, so coaching training and support, CPR first aid conducted by the athletic directors, which all three athletic directors are certified for CPR. So it's just saving the cost of coaches having to go out and try to get first aid and report themselves. The district has helped us with that, and we're certifying all our coaches. Also, the fundamentals of coaching training through the CIF, our coaches are mandated to take that. and we keep track of that. Also, concussion training through the National Federation of State of High School Association. Also, too, we've done the Positive Coaching Alliance workshop, which is offered 3 times a year through the district, and the district has picked that up, and we have those meetings at the district office. Also, to support for coaching staff in relationship building with the school and the community. So, as you see right here, you know, last year when I came and presented the numbers, if you look at the numbers, you know, with the Measure O money and the stuff we've been able to do, as you see, our numbers have increased at our schools from last year to this year, and they probably will increase next year. If we can do a better job at promoting sports and getting kids engaged for all sports and extracurricular activities on campus, you know, we're getting better participation. So as you see here, this year Harbor was 449, I was 678, small schools 90, Soquel High 663. So promoting participation for all groups of students. So, you know, recruitment efforts at all club days during the year is where we try to promote kids to participate in sports and other activities. Teachers, especially PE, reaching out to students, encouraging participation in all school clubs, including sports. Coaches recruit, you know, freshmen and sophomores in PE classes. At Harbor, athletic directors, along with the community school coordinator, visit ELD classrooms prior to each season to make sure students are getting the information about sports being offered. Recruitment of incoming ninth graders at the new student orientation meetings and open houses. So recruiting coaches. Stipends have increased our numbers of applicants. Nearly 100% of the teams had had a permanent coach at the start of the season. And that hasn't been true in the past. You know, sometimes we've been scarce with coaches, and sometimes our athletic directors, we have to coach the teams if we don't have coaches, which I think Hollis had to do this year. You know, athletic directors promoted our positions with UCSC and Cabrillo. Athletic directors attended more events with parents and community members involving sports seeking potential coaches, encouraging conversations and hiring practices to promote on-campus coaches, which we really try to do through our teachers and any counseling if we have administration, whether if they would like to coach, we always put that out to them first, because it's always best to have an on-campus coach if you can. And we're still lacking, you know, on all our campus in a sense of the numbers of on-campus coaches that we do have, but we're still trying to encourage people to do that. The evaluation system that is supportive and clear about growth and success for each coach. So we evaluate each coach. We have conversations about improvement, what you can do better. We don't want to just cut coaches off and send them away in 1 year and then I have to hire another coach. So, you know, it's a process. We want to, things might not always go so great at the beginning, but it's a teaching situation, so you have to be able to teach coaches how to get better. And that's what we have time to do now as athletic directors. Highlights from the season. Harbor High, first football win in 3 years and increased participation in total players. Added a freshman basketball team. Increased JV girls swimming from 16 to 36. Santa Cruz High, boys water polo, made it to the final division two. Cross country girls team won their third back-to-back CCS championship this year. Boys basketball also won the league championship this year and qualified for the state championship with the number one seed. Football, we won a league championship, which we hadn't won in a very, very long time. And we also had moved to a different league, but it was a good thing. Soquel High, girls volleyball, CCS champions, Division III. Girls and boys water polo league champs. Girls CCS open division semifinalists. Girls track 4x100 relay team broke the Santa Cruz County record at CCS top 8 meet. Girls swim team won the league swim meet. Small schools AFE volleyball won championship. AFE and Cosanoa shared a basketball team. Shows power of all the small schools. Cosanoa soccer team was undefeated.
All right.
the next steps is really working at gathering better data. And what happened this year with Illuminate was it came on and there were a lot of things to resolve. And in letting transcripts get resolved and other really big issues, forming teams within Illuminate, we just didn't do quite as early as we will next year due to the issues that were kind of pressing over this year. So we'll be looking at gathering gender and ethnicity participation per season, GPAs, on-campus coaches, numbers of teams, number of returning coaches. I think that's a really important data piece for us, as Eric was talking about. Continued recruitment of certificated and classified staff to athletic programs, and overall just increasing numbers of teams on all of our campuses. So we have a system now with Belinda and Illuminate that the teams will be, and this season they're all in that way, but not from the fall. So I think it will be a lot easier next year to really give you some more concrete data, but so that's kind of our one of our areas to grow.
Hey, Sheila.
I'm just wondering, it doesn't specifically say this here, if we're still looking into being able to have freshman teams and some of the sports that have been so full.
This year, for me and Hollis and Stu can talk about this also too for their schools, but I had a boys freshman team basketball, which I didn't have, and I also had a freshman baseball team this year. And I don't see that changing in the
what
future
about
with the numbers.
The thing that I've been talking about for 5 years is the soccer, where it's been all club soccer, people getting into soccer, and
right.
Especially with our Latino community, them not being able to get in. Is that something that we're looking into still?
So, you know, it's not that we can't possibly get a freshman team, it's that our league doesn't support a freshman team as a whole. So I don't have anybody for them to play. Now, that, you know, and if we were talking about trying to look for games that might be over the hill, then we're talking about transportation again, and then now we're talking about buses and getting kids far away and not having to drive. So it's a balanced sort of situation. It's not something that I don't want to do, and our numbers are very, very big for soccer. That hasn't changed. I think if we had a league, if all the other schools said we had a freshman team and we could play each other, you know, maybe that would be a possibility, but we don't have a league that supports a freshman program for soccer right now for any of the schools. There's no school in our area that has a freshman soccer team.
I can add to it, the middle schools, they've done some different things with soccer, in particular about making sure that all kids are on it. So some of the club kids couldn't come to practices, and they were just showing up for games. So there's some new policies in play that you have to be at practice in order to play, and that did open up quite a few spots for kids that would be at practice every day and ready to play. So there has been some change of practice.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to keep thinking about this one. There must be a way.
I mean, it's something we can work on and talk about as athletic directors and try to increase and talk to other athletic directors in the area to see if we can get four teams. But we've never been in a conversation that anybody had said that they had, hey, I'll have nobody to play. Can you guys get a freshman team? Nobody said that.
Right.
You know.
Never say never.
I won't say never, but I'm just saying I don't have anybody for them to play. I have a team, but I don't have anybody for them to play.
Well, for Harbor, it does. We just don't have the field space. But now that we're getting the field and lights, we have the space and the time to be able to practice all the teams. Mm-hmm. So we actually did plan on having a freshman team this year. We didn't know who we were going to play, if there was going to be a practice team or what, but we didn't want to cut. I think we cut 40 players last year.
Yes.
So that's another 20 that we don't have to cut. So I, and again, we haven't talked about this, so this isn't something that's for sure going to happen, but I was hoping, I know we all have the numbers to be able to get into. So there's three. All we need is have to find one more. And
Aptos.
Right, you might
we don't need to
do
drive
it.
To the valley, mm-hmm. Or if we want to go the other direction, Scotts Valley,
because
they're going to have a new complex and plenty of fields.
It seemed to me that when I was watching those tryouts, we almost had enough to have two teams.
you know, in that one school, at least at Santa Cruz High we did. And, I mean, there might be some way to work around it. But good, I'm glad we're thinking about it. That's an important thing.
Okay, Dee Dee, you're next.
So, I'm pleased to see that the recruitment is reaching into the ELD classes. I have a question related to that. So I've heard anecdotally that when a player does not speak enough English, that that's problematic if the coach doesn't speak the native language of the student. And I'm thinking particularly of Harbor High School that has the newcomers who are brand new and new to English. So how do you work around that?
Well, I mean, in particular to our soccer program, Michael Brady and his brother, Dylan, he's fluent in Spanish. He was there this year. And our girls' soccer program, Eric Peterson, he's a Spanish speaker. So in that sense, we take care of that. But in other sports, I haven't heard what you've heard. I haven't had anybody complain to me personally, like, hey, this is an issue for Harvard. If it were, if somebody were to come to me with that issue, we've pushed into the ELD classes and made sure that they have all the same information, that they have all the access to be able to join the program. So if they were having difficulty after that, communicating, getting, or, you know, missing practice because they didn't hear it, or things aren't being relayed to them in a way that they understand, I haven't been told that. Nobody's come to me and said, hey, this is an issue. If it were, we would make sure that we fixed it. That hasn't been something that I've heard.
So can I ask a follow-up question? There's another challenge with especially not just newcomer students, but Latino students in particular. You mentioned that if the student doesn't come to practice, they don't get to play, and they often get released from the team. Many students need to work, and it's not working for pocket change. It's working to help support their family. And that's a reality of many of our students in our district, which kind of cuts them out of any opportunities to play competitively. And I don't know if there have been any thoughts or thinking around, you know, this idea of a freshman team or just giving the students that want to play other opportunities to play if they can't play on the varsity or JV teams. Have there been any thoughts around that?
So would that be saying having club teams or something of that sort? I don't know.
Intramural. Right. I don't know what the CIF laws are, though.
Club team. You can have a club team on campus, but then again, that's not in my realm of supervision.
Okay.
A club team on campus is a staff member who takes on a bicycle club or, you know, a hiking club, and they supervise that club, and then they organize and do that. That doesn't fall under my athletic director's umbrella in the sense of that sort of thing. If we went to club, if you said club rather than the school sport. I will say this, though. I understand the situation that we've had kids who have been on the team that say they can't make it to practice twice a week, and we haven't. As long as they communicated with the coach and told them at the beginning of the year, this is my situation, nobody's going to be punished because they have to go take care of their three kids and their mom's working two jobs. We're not going to punish them for that. We would never do that. But I would say I really try to, when I go to the coach's meeting, to tell them to tell us at the beginning what your situation is. And I know that sometimes that might be embarrassing and they don't want to talk about that. So I even invite them, come to my office, let's talk one-on-one, and then I will articulate to the coach what the situation for them if they don't feel comfortable about talking, or we all three can have a meeting to discuss the situation in my office. And this, again, gives me more time to do these sort of things, you know, being, you know, where we're at on campus all the time now as athletic directors. So I would never, ever have a kid feel that because he's trying to work or take care of his family that he can't play soccer. We would like him to be at practice as much as possible. And sometimes we've had kids who said, I can't make it to the game on Thursday because I have to work. As long as we're communicating and we're talking, coach, the AD, We'll work that out. I think you guys feel this.
Yeah, I mean that we I come. That's actually something we've been proactive about because it comes up so often. You know? So during our parent meeting, when we're talking about communication with coaches, that particular item comes up. Like if you have to work or something like that, just like what Eric said, make sure that you're communicating with your coach when you can and can't be there, so that they understand what their team dynamic is. You know, if you're coaching tennis, you know, it's a singular sport, you know, so you can practice out on your off time. But if you're playing basketball or soccer or football where you're an integral part of the team, that missed practice time is obviously going to put you at a disadvantage because you're not able to practice the plays and the things that are necessary to be part of that team. So you have to be able to take that as well. You have to say, okay, I know I'm going to have limited practice time, but I'm good. The coach thought I was good enough to be on the team. So we work with that. Because we don't want to turn anybody away. Obviously, we want to make sure our numbers go up and that we have people there, but we also don't want to make it so challenging for the coach that they don't have anybody there to practice with.
Okay, Patty and then Cindy.
I just want to thank you for stating a vision and now having a commonality that all schools can work from. And I want to thank you for including small schools and the work that gets done there. I've had students from those programs, Coast to Nose students I chat with, those who are not necessarily what we consider the mainstream schools, who really appreciate it. And the community coordinators and into the ELD classes, I think at all sites, would be great. I know that we have community coordinators coming to both Santa Cruz and, if I remember,
next year.
Perhaps there can be something, I'm just wanting to drop a seed and something to think about, that they help the students or look for some sort of funding within that for a club, for club intramural, because it keeps them on campus, they eat the food right there, and they get some exercise. Just water them and send them back to class, and it would be a good thing. Well, they're first when they come in.
Yes,
water,
Cindy, go ahead.
First of all, I want to thank you for a really wonderful report, and thank you for taking the time to be here tonight. I think it says a lot, just what we have to read, and seeing you all here in person, I really appreciate that. Could you give us a little sense of the promoting scholarship excellence as part of the program goals, and just give me maybe anecdotally, or if you have a vision for that or plans for the future, could you just speak to that for a minute? Really appreciate that being there.
I support the academic goals and helping kids with academic goals. We made legally the conversations.
Right. Well, I mean, besides what we have to do, we have a group of kids, and what we're promoting also, too, if kids want to go on and do college, and then what that offers for them and how they need to register for the NCAA, the Publishers Clearinghouse. We try to get those kids on in sophomores so they're not thinking that now they think that they have a scholarship offer their junior year and they haven't put the right credits in to qualify for Division I or Division II or Division III. What I try to promote to kids is that even if you don't think you're, even if you might not have this inkling that you could do that, just fill out the NCAA because you never know as you grow in high school what's going to happen by your junior or senior year. We also promote that NCAA scholarship and opportunities through parent night and stuff like that so parents can come. And we also meet with parents who don't know anything about it, and we give them the paperwork and we go through it with them. They register, then the registrar gets the code number in the registrar's office. Then now they can have their transcripts, all their accomplishments in schools. The colleges can get all that information from school. And besides that, you know, there's other scholarship opportunities that the community gives out, that we give out for our athletes and all students, you know, for awards night as far as money for schools and stuff like that. So I hope that.
Eric, I think, I'm sorry.
You go ahead.
Yeah, I think that Cindy's also referring to how are you, do you support the scholar athlete? That
academic achievement while they're
while they're in school? So we also, at the end of the year,
What we've incorporated is too, we recognize the kids who've kept 3.5 GPA as they've gone through a school. We give out certificates for them besides the participation certificate. So we try to recognize those kids in their award ceremonies for that. So we do have that achieve. And we also, for all our sports teams, so sometimes we have our sports teams who achieve certain GPAs, we also send those GPA points to the state, and then the teams that have a high GPA for the state, we recognize them with banners in the gym that say this team for 2018 had a 3.8 GPA. We put those banners up besides the championship banner. So there's a section in the gym for academic achievement in the gym, just alone as winning league and winning CCS. So we try to, we recognize those kids, and we try to do better with getting all the teams' achievements. But we also, every team, we try to apply for it. So as athletic directors, we look at the team's GPA, and when we run their grades and we run their GPAs, we submit these things to the state, and then come back, team gets a full certificate as far as their academic achievement for the team, and they're recognized just as much as the participation part.
So, yeah, one of the things that, so there's a reactive version of academics that has, that you kind of inherit, right? So you got to have a 2.0, you can't have any Fs. And so the grades come out and the student has that, and you say, oh, by the way, you can't play anymore. So now you're reacting to this stimulus. So to be proactive, though, now what they're doing, let's take football as an example. We already know the kids who are coming back, so we did a report just after this last grading period with the football coach and said, hey, these kids that want to play football for you, if they don't pass in the spring, they're not going to be able to play in the fall. So he has study hall twice a week on Mondays and Fridays. So this is something that some sports, baseball, girls volleyball, a swim team, they have zero problems with kids not being able to keep up the grades. So we don't check them as closely. But some of our other teams, we have to be more proactive with. So it's a matter of calling them in and saying, hey, I really want you to play this sport, but if you don't got above a 2.0 in the West by this time, you're not going to be able to play that sport that you want to play. I have a couple of kids on my tennis team that I'm talking to right now, right? So so you start off being reactive, and then you turn it into trying to be proactive. So you start to increase their understanding of what they need to do. So there's a learning center, there's study halls, there's pulling them out of practice without any worry about being having any consequences because you're not practicing because you've got to get the grades up. So this is kind of where you want to move to, right? So we have some teams that are doing that. Gainer's doing a really great job of that with the football program. I know that Dylan Braden, Michael Braden got dealt with SLB with his brother with the soccer team, was actually coming into school on his own time and making sure the kids were going to the learning center. So it's important that you move into this proactive state to make sure that the kids stay there. A lot of them don't understand that just 1 hour in the library of hard work is really going to get you over a lot of bumps. So if you push them in that direction, make sure that they're there for 3 hours a week or something like that, they'll find that their grades just automatically go up, and then see how easy, if you want to call it that, it actually is. So
it can make a big difference. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All that too, I had just met with our football coach just yesterday, because we were just talking about, we have, I think what we're going to have to do, we have spring football coming up, but we looked at our team's grades, and I think we're going to have to take, instead of the practice time, we're going to take 2 days out of spring ball, and I think we're going to have to do study hall to get the kids grades, because it's not going to be any good if you don't get grades the last quarter, you won't have anybody. So I think we're all looking into keeping our kids eligible.
Hey, Allie, your turn.
I wanted to thank Mr. Ryan, because I think this last year there's been a world of difference at Harvard. There's a lot more of a sports culture, I'd say, especially with the increase of on-campus coaches. I think that's really helped. And then I was also going to say to the intramural sports at Harvard High School, the past month, Steve Perez, this counselor, he's been organizing an indoor soccer tournament. Mm-hmm. And so students can participate during lunch and breaks and such in a club sort of soccer setting.
On the baseball field?
No, it's in the gym.
Indoor. Oh, it's in the gym. Indoor. Indoor. Dork like me can't play.
Thank you. Dee Dee?
I love hearing about being proactive, about helping the students get their grades. It's kind of a win-win. They get to play and their grades are going up. I did have a question about the coach training. You had a list here of different kinds of training. Are all of these required of all of the coaches?
Yes.
Including the positive coaching?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And when and how do they do that? Is it just kind of a one-shot deal, or are there refreshers?
It is a one-shot deal. They come three times a year. So, you know, we could have a coach come back if we felt like that was appropriate. We have done that in the past. But basically, it's as they iterate as a coach, they need to go to the Positive Coaching Alliance. And they've been really good. We actually have a local guy here who works for them who comes and has done a really solid job. And the feedback on those has been really positive.
Okay. Thank you.
You also get to catch them at the end when you do your review of the coaches, right? So, you know, you do the Positive Coaching Alliance, you do the training on NFHS for the coach's competency and everything, and then they come at the end of the season, if you've gone to some practices and games and been able to see, you know, what they're doing, you can have some input based on those things, not only that your school site believes, but also for, you know, the PCA and all those other things. You can just kind of bring those in. Every so often, you know, you'll get emails from them, and, you know, you can push them out to your coaches if you think it's appropriate.
Cindy?
Thanks. Just a quick question to go along with what Dee Dee was talking about, the coaching training. I assume we have some volunteer coaches also?
Yes, ma'am.
Do they go through the same training requirement?
So under all paid coaches, all paid coaches have to go through all the training.
Okay.
Volunteer coaches are not mandated in the sense to go through the training, but volunteer coaches can't be on the field without the coaches who have gone through the training. So the input of the philosophy, and if you have a problem with a volunteer, you have to meet with the coach and the volunteer if it's not going. But it's up to the coach to supervise his volunteers through that program and making sure that they're following the right curriculum.
Yeah, one of the things that we're trying to do is I'm moving away from volunteers only because since I can't be out there, and I know that there are times that say a coach is sick, they still want to have practice, and all I have is a volunteer. Mm-hmm. They still might have practice, and they haven't gone through a lot of the training that you want them to go through. So yeah, it's a little more work for me, a little more work for them, but it's easier just to have them sign a stipend waiver form, become actual coaches. Mm-hmm. And that way now they're out there, and you can feel safe that they've gone through all the training. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So I just end it by thanking these guys for all their work that they do.
Yeah,
seeing those numbers increase like we've seen, I think is a great indication. As we shared that, you know, kids are really finding a place in sports or band or drama, and in this case with sports. So thanks, you guys.
We have one last word from Sheila.
And I just wanted to say that I was sitting there listening to you, and I was thinking it was hard work to get this to happen, to have the vision and to see it happening. And I'm just really aware that the community is really happy with what you guys are doing. And I sit here thinking, boy, we didn't used to have this. Mm-hmm. And not that long ago. So
no.
I really
they were
thank
all
you.
Volunteers. Mm-hmm. That was an interesting piece, right, wasn't it? Our meeting.
But it allows you to do, you said it would allow you to do a lot more things.
We were in
you
trouble.
Were right. Right. So good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Our next item is the CSBA board policies back for final reading.
Policies are almost all largely updates in the law.
Mm-hmm. Do we need to take them all at once, or can we?
Is there an item that you?
Well, B402.4, which is the charter school authorization, I kind of wanted to go in the wording a little bit more and have to have different wording.
Okay.
And I don't want to do it here. I just would like to just recommend some changes to wording and have that be something that we discuss maybe at another time. But that particular one, that's one thing.
Okay, so would we pull that and vote for the rest of them and then bring that back?
Yeah, the motion would be, I'd like to approve the policies minus
or
charter
school. That was my personal.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Okay, so is that a motion?
I don't know.
There's another light. There's more to it.
I'm sorry, Jeremy. I need to see your light. Go ahead.
About what?
Your light's on?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to talk about is not related to it.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, go ahead, though, because we're not going to make a motion until we hear.
Oh, okay. So I wanted to talk about history and social science. It's on page BP614294 instruction.
And what's the bottom corner page number? Because it doesn't
move. 630 out of 6. So, if you were to add up the minutes that a school board devotes to this topic or this topic or this topic or this topic, this particular school board in the almost four years that I've been on this board, and you were to look at history, social science, you'd have certainly fewer than 5 minutes. And world languages probably about the same. So I'm going to take my time on this. Pursuant to education code blah, 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 the SBE added specified topics to the updated curriculum framework, including but not limited to financial literacy, voter education, genocide, and the contributions of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Americans and the disabled. Education code, as added by AB blah, 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 requires the school board, SBE, to adopt a model curriculum in ethnic studies by March 31st, 2020, and encourages districts to offer an elective course in ethnic studies, encourages, based on that model curriculum, when available, and at least one grade level during the grades 9 through 12. The date for the adoption of the new and improved curriculum framework for social science, I'm not sure of. I know that, is it 2019? I believe that Pajaro is well on the way, as I've talked to Chris about this, to adopt textbooks for K-8. And I know that Rob Darrow is helping them with that adoption process in terms of making sure that stuff they're doing is inclusive. So one of the ideas that I've had, and I've talked to Chris about it, who I think has a great idea, is that just as we heard from athletics, and it's sort of an overview, and it took a half hour, I think, maybe 40 minutes, and it got us up to date on all, at least at the junior high and high school programs in terms of what's going on with athletics, I really think it behooves us to hear that kind of an overview for the curricular areas that are never talked about. That would be history, social science, and language. And so I would like to just mention that I think this is great. It is in here, and we need to address how we're going to hear from these curricular areas in an overview manner that would take a certain amount of time, either through a presentation or through a study session. And I would like to talk about that at the governance session, because I think that it's something the board hasn't done, and it's a real it's an area for improvement, because you can't understand something that you never talk about. So I'm glad this is in here, and that is, I don't want to change it. I'm pleased about it, and I wanted to point it out. And thanks
okay,
for
so you're not going to take that out then?
So we're not pulling that? I just want to
okay. Okay, so is there a motion to accept the policies except for BP
Well, I was hoping that perhaps some other school board members might have anything to say about the fact that
Well, you did say you want to discuss it at the governance session. Is that right?
No, I'm just curious if anyone else on the board has noted that in 4 years we've spent less than 5 minutes on this topic. That's all.
Yeah, I don't have the 4 years experience to weigh in, but I think it's a great idea, and I would like to look at it at the governance session, too. And I would suggest to think about rate early scheduling curriculum areas for presentations to the board. Mm-hmm. That's pretty standard in, mm-hmm. in some other districts where I've worked, and mm-hmm. it's been very informative to the boards. And besides that, I think it helps to synthesize the thinking of the curriculum area mm-hmm. and department chairs or others. Of course, they have to take some of that personal time to come here.
But in the same sense that all three athletic directors came together and they're all at least see them on the same page. Mm-hmm. That same sense, it's exactly what you're talking
and
about.
I would expand that thinking to be all the curriculum areas. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about language arts, but I don't see any reason to exclude any of the areas. But we can talk about that at governance.
At governance, right.
Absolutely on mm-hmm. target with that thinking.
Okay, Patty?
Yeah. I just wanted to appreciate you, Jeremy, for bringing that up. And I know that there is much to do, and so a conversation around it is the start. Mm-hmm. I do know that the health areas also brought up some of the issues that the social sciences will be bringing in. They were looking for curriculum that reflected. So 2020 will be here really in a year and a half. Thank you.
Okay. And Sheila.
So I say hubba hubba. I think that... in history and social studies is something that we the pendulum swung much too far in one direction, and we sorely need to focus on, and it's part of why I voted for you, Jeremy, so that we would remember the importance of history and social studies. So I think it's a great idea.
Okay. Now motion.
I move approval of all of the board policies with the exception of 402.4.
Second. I'm sorry, the second is?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Perfect. Students? And is it a resolution? I forget.
No.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? Okay. And the final item.
Our resolution.
The resolution,
So for the fall, we have four trustee positions that are up for election. We have to do a resolution ordering that election and all of the kind of formalities that that entails. So I want to thank Nancy for doing all the homework, put that together for us, and bring that resolution forward to you for your approval.
Second.
Okay, it's the resolution.
Aye.
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 Aye. And meeting adjourned.
I was a patient.